You know, if you just took the legend at face value, you could easily assume that Elvis Presley was tuned in to the Red Hot and Blue radio show one night.
It's a Red Hot and Blue coming through WHBQ in Hotel Chisco on the magazine floor.
Heard Dewey Phillips play Big Mama Thornton's Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
And decided he would record it someday. Now, I'm sure Dewey played it, and I'm sure Elvis heard it. But what led Presley to add the song to his live repertoire had more to do with his biggest flop of 1956 than his love for the blues. Looking back, Elvis and Las Vegas seem to have been made for each other. You can hardly hear the strains of Also Sprach Zarathustra without picturing the king of rock and roll bounding on the stage at the Hilton, cape flying, to belt out C.C. Rider for those who streamed in from the desert heat. Elvis' first Las Vegas engagement was more lukewarm than white hot. Hastily arranged, at least by Colonel Tom Parker standards, Elvis and his band were slated to appear with the Freddie Martin Orchestra for 2 weeks in the Venus Room of the New Frontier Hotel. About the only stranger concert pairing I could think of would be when Jimi Hendrix opened for the Monkees.
Let's welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis Presley.
Following weeks of scream-powered teen adulation, when the band hit the stage to close the first night show, they heard something they hadn't heard in months. Themselves playing. It was, as many an act has said while tugging a too tight collar, a tough room. To his credit, Elvis took the challenge in stride and sought to win over the indifferent audience.
There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there.
Meanwhile, he spent some quality offstage hours either poolside with the babes, careening down the tracks on the amusement park rides, or soaking up the shows on the Strip. The Four Lads, Liberace, Johnny Ray, and, at the Sands, Freddie Bell and the Bell Boys. It was this group's treatment of Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller's Hound Dog that inspired Elvis to add it to the act.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, a hound dog. Crying all the time.
Elvis finished the 2 weeks and had at least an afternoon of vindication when the New Frontier put on a teenage matinee, and the adoring masses set off a frenzy of fondness that cost him a shirt, shredded for the sake of souvenirs. Hound Dog was a great addition to the stage show and wowed the audiences. Elvis would play it up big with a slowed-down bump-and-grind ending. Before he ever recorded the song, he featured it on his TV appearances on The Milton Berle Show and The Steve Allen Show, where Presley performed in tuxedo singing to a basset hound.
I think I have on something tonight that's not quite correct for evening wear.
Not quite formal? What's that, Elvis?
We'll play shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Producer Steve Scholes and Colonel Parker knew Hound Dog would be a smash record, but they actually had to talk Elvis into recording it. His publishers, Hill and Range, also had to do a sell job to convince Lieber and Stoller to give up part of their publishing, a standard demand Elvis management would ask of writers. It would mean certain cash for the writers, but they would give up full control of their songs. The deal struck, the artists persuaded. Recording took place July 2, 1956, at RCA's New York studios. Elvis sought perfection in his performance, and long after the button pushers in the booth were satisfied, he finally found the gem in the rough on take 31. Flying off the shelves at a frightening pace, in the first week it sold 1 million copies. By August, it hit the number one chart position and would stay there for 11 weeks. Now, if you go dig back in the Sun Records archives, you'll find single number 181, it was recorded in 1953, Rufus Thomas, WDIA Memphis DJ, recorded The Answer to Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a bowcat.
Rufus went on to record for both the Sun and Stax record labels. In Memphis, I'm Rob Grayson.